speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
And it is a pleasure again today to greet you with the gospel of Christ. We believe indeed that this program is important to our listeners, and certainly we're happy that you're listening today. If you have a friend who might not be listening to the program, why not take just a moment to give them a call and invite them to listen to the broadcast this afternoon. We'll be starting again on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and the consideration of these subjects that are so important to our lives and to our eternal welfare. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the command of our Lord in Mark 16:15-16. And we want men to hear the gospel so that they may believe it, repent of their sins, and confess the name of Christ, and be buried with their Lord in baptism to wash away their sins. We want to walk in the truth, and that is the simple teachings of the Word of God. Thy Word is truth, says John 17:17. And therefore, when we walk in harmony with the Word, we're walking in harmony with the truth. Beloved, believe not every spirit, though, John writes in 1 John 4:1, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. False prophets can cause us to walk in a false way, and therefore lose our soul, and not be the light in the world that we ought to be for those who are in darkness. Indeed, our Lord wants us to live in harmony with His will, and He has given us the truth by which we can do that. We've been discussing with you this week marriage and the changing attitudes about divorce in our day and time. Divorce, of course, is a horrible thing. Malachi 2:16, it says God hates putting away. And throughout all of the teaching our Lord has given us, we have realized the sanctity of marriage and His emphasis upon it. He does not intend that we should have more than one husband or more than one wife. And the only exception to this rule of leaving a husband and a wife and remarrying is that fornication is involved. That is a breaking, my friends, of the marriage vows. The Lord, of course, said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. In the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, we find that this not only applies to a husband putting away his wife, but also a wife putting away her husband. And so either way, the only exception for two people to gain a divorce and remarry is fornication. That is a specific act. It is sexual unfaithfulness to one who is not your mate. And so this breaks the marriage vow unless repentance and forgiveness takes place and one receives that guilty party back into the marriage. But at any rate, there's some reasons that people are not preaching as they once did on these matters, and we have been concluding some of those things as we have studied together this week. We, of course, have learned that some congregations have remarried divorcees in their midst, and therefore their feelings of guilt make it necessary either to admit the wrong and do right, or try to justify the situation. And I'm sorry to say that in the latter oftentimes is the case. Justify the situation rather than correcting it. Paul, of course, condemned the brethren at Corinth for that attitude. Then there's some leaders that desire to have a large, growing membership, and they're so anxious to have it, they think that whatever the community standards are, that they equate that with being God's will. Then there are preachers who measure their message by the popularity charts. They do not want to be unpopular, and so rather than teaching the will of the Lord and perhaps not suiting everybody, they try more to say what people want to hear. They tickle their ears, but they do so with that which is error. Then there's some who are intimidated by the wealthy and the influential in the congregation, and the preacher is afraid to preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage because he does not stand foursquare with the Lord, but rather wants to get along with everyone. Preachers then oftentimes also go along with accepting such divorced people and those who even perform ceremonies for them. They rationalize that the face of Jesus' teaching does not really apply to them. Then there are leaders in the church, elders of the church, who once stood opposed to divorce evil, but then they gradually were worn down by a degenerate society that steadily beats upon the walls of the kingdom, and therefore they have given up the fight to stand up for what is right at all costs. Then there are leaders who held the correct scriptural view and taught it until the members of their family got involved or some friend got involved, and then they adjusted their thinking to clear the guilty. Others, both elders and preachers, are simply ignorant of God's teaching on this vital subject. They've never studied it. They do not want to know it. They believe that whatever they think will be all right. And if they're never in the understanding of the truth, maybe the Lord will just excuse them someday. But Hosea 4:6, as I reminded you yesterday, says, we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. And knowledge and ignorance of that knowledge will not allow us to be saved. So many have also confused these things with the numerous theories. They say there's so many good arguments in the other side of this matter that perhaps we just will take the ones that are simplest for that which pleases us. Then there's some leaders who unconsciously have grown accustomed to the sins around them, and that just doesn't seem too bad anymore. And they overlook these things. There are some who have allowed their sympathies for the hardship faced by families, especially where children are involved, to blind them to the righteousness of God's law. Then, 12th of all, my friends, some brethren have turned to this compromising view because they are turned off by the attitude and the conduct of preachers and elders of the church who oppose divorce, remarriage, that which is contrary to the teaching of our Lord. Some perhaps were harsh and heartless in dealing with men and women trapped in unlawful marriages. It certainly makes a difference as to how we withdraw from people, and we must, of course, try to win them back to the faith. Withdrawal is not to give any kind of punishment to people, but it is in order to show them their real condition and to bring them back from that lost condition to the place of righteousness. There have been cases of discrimination, no doubt, where some were called to account for such illicit unions, while others were passed by, and that's not correct either. All must be dealt with fairly. All must be dealt with equally. Then there are some who ignore the exception that Jesus taught and that he allowed, that is, the fornication, and insist upon other grounds for remarriage. Yet others pontificate, it seems, that although Jesus allows the exception of fornication, they say there are no innocent parties in a broken marriage. Such attitudes always drive some souls to opposite extremes. And so we need to be careful that we stand for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, in the proper manner that we ought to. But 13th of all, the reason for changing attitudes about divorce, I suppose, some brethren are always looking for easy solutions to hard problems. There are no tougher problems faced by congregational leaders than those of unscriptural marriage unions. And while it is highly desirable to seek new and easy solutions to in the secular realm, it's fatal in the spiritual realm. Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27. You know, 14th of all, some falsely believe that God's Word is not static and unchangeable, but they really believe it's plastic, that it can be changed and molded to their thinking, to their own way, and that it may be adjusted to meet the changing moods of man's behavior. Matthew 24:35 should settle that. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In 15th place, no doubt, some men are being used by Satan to corrupt and weaken the Lord's church. Paul talked about those in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. He said they were ministers of Satan. They would not stand for the truth. They appeared righteous, like Jesus said. There are those in Matthew 7:15 that appear to be sheep, but really they're inwardly ravening wolves. And we need to be careful and cautious of these, lest they cause the condemnation of our soul. No doubt, then, some men are being used by Satan to corrupt and weaken the Lord's church. And then, 16th of all, human wisdom has sometimes been allowed to be exalted above the revelation of God on these matters. Unscriptural divorce and remarriage just does not appear too bad to man's jaundiced eyes. Have you ever thought about the fact, my friends, that no rapist is put on the jury for a rape trial because he doesn't realize how difficult and wrong it is? There is no murderer that is put on the jury of a murder trial because he doesn't realize the real difficulty of it. In Isaiah 55:8-9, our Lord says, my ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But in the last place on these changing attitudes about divorce, there are many liberal people who scoff at God's law. They don't believe in the sanctity of truth, and they do not at all accept the fact that the Lord's law cannot be changed, and them not have difficulties and responsibilities toward it. They scoff at God's law. They reject the very idea of a law that man is expected to conform to and cannot bring themselves, it seems, to accept this strict high standard for marriage and divorce. Of course, Paul told about them even in his writing in 1 Timothy 4, where he said, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables." Now, my friends, though man may protest, and though a score of alternate views may be proposed, Jesus' words still say plainly, "I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." Matthew 19 and verse 9. I believe you can understand that. I can certainly understand it. I believe it's clear. I don't think the words are very confusing. I believe they're clear. Now, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 7, because oftentimes people choose this as being the way around the Lord's law of marriage in Matthew 19, verse 9, verses 8 and 9. And so they say there must be other causes for divorce and remarriage besides just fornication. They misuse 1 Corinthians 7, and they give oftentimes their own slanted views concerning those things which are taught here. But I want to suggest to you the questions that it seems the Corinthians were asking of Paul, and thereby it will make the easier the thoughts that you will read in this chapter. In 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 7, the question seems to be, is marriage itself all right before God? And Paul, of course, gives answer to that in verses 1 through 7. It is all right in the sight of God, of course. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 and 9. The second question, should widows and widowers remain unmarried? And Paul takes care of asking and answering that question so that they will understand the answer in verses 8 and 9. In verses 10 through 11, the question seems to be, should those Christians who are married to those who are not Christians, should they remain married? Now, these are important questions because the Corinthians indeed had problems just as we do today. Inspiration gives the answers. In verses 12 and 13, should the Christian who is married to a non-Christian leave the non-Christian? And Paul answers the question, no, he should not. In verses 14 through 16, what if the unbelieving companion departs upon his own middle voice and not because one puts him away? Well, he says, let him depart, because we're called unto peace, and we're not under bondage to uphold the marriage responsibilities under such cases. In verse 17 through 24, he says, does this one's becoming a Christian make it necessary for him to change his cultural situations, those things which are right within themselves? And Paul says, indeed, he can remain as he is. But indeed, he's not talking about things like divorce, remarriage, nor is he talking about one who is a homosexual in his life. So we need to understand that these are the thoughts concerning his questions. In verse 25 through 38, Paul answers the question, what about those persons who never have been married? Would it be better for these not to marry? And Paul gives answer. In verse 39 and 40, what is God's will, they ask, about the remarriage of a widow? And he answers, let her marry only in the Lord. Now, upon what grounds, my friends, does anyone conclude that in discussing these things, any of these above chapters, that Paul discussed divorce and remarriage? Actually, divorce and remarriage is not mentioned at all in 1 Corinthians 7.